Judge stops 3D gun blueprints.
To post that information is illegal.
Company vows a fight.
I'm no different from a publisher of information.
Campaign to influence elections.
The goal was simply to make the United States weaker.
Attention, shoppers.
You want to buy groceries, you need a picture.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Indeed.com.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. For now, at least, a private company's bid to publish blueprints online for 3D printed guns is on hold. A federal judge stopped it, but legal action still in the works as debate over these untraceable plastic weapons rages on. Here's CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
Several state attorneys general have sued to block the posting of the blueprints. Bob Ferguson of Washington State is one of them.
Makes no damn sense, no damn sense at all, to make those available.
Yesterday, a federal court judge in his state issued a temporary restraining order blocking the posting of gun-making data.
I believe that I am championing the Second Amendment in the 21st century.
Cody Wilson, who built the world's first 3D-printed plastic gun, wants to build a downloadable firearms library.
What I'm doing is legally protected. I will go to the appellate level. I will go to the Supreme Court. I will waste all my time.
Thousands have already downloaded the blueprints Wilson posted last Friday. Yesterday, the president tweeted he's looking into the matter. The NRA notes it's been illegal for 3 decades to own or make an untraceable gun. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
32 accounts have been removed from Facebook and Instagram. They're said to be part of a sophisticated effort to influence American politics ahead of the midterm elections. CBS's Vladimir Dutier.
Many of the deleted pages inflamed divisions and encouraged Americans to turn on each other. An account called ReSisters even duped real people into organizing a protest in Washington, D.C. Billed as a sequel to the confrontations with white nationalists that took place last year in Charlottesville, Virginia. Facebook couldn't link the fake pages to Russia with 100% certainty, but the digital trail appears to lead back to Moscow.
And Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Richard Burr says the effort's not likely to stop.
What we're looking at in social media is an effort by the Russians and potentially other adversaries to create social chaos, to divide America.
At a rally in Tampa last night, President Trump tried to make the case for voter ID, claiming IDs are needed for just about everything else.
You know, if you go out and you want to buy groceries, you need a picture on a card.
That's only true to buy alcohol, cigarettes, or cold medicine. The president defended his action on trade and accused China of targeting American farmers. Reports indicate the administration's considering a 25% tariff instead of a 10% one on $200 billion worth of Chinese products. Prosecutors in Virginia have begun to make their case against former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. CBS's Paula Reed says he's accused of amassing a secret income.
Prosecutors told the jury that Manafort failed to disclose tens of millions of dollars that he earned for lobbying on behalf of Ukrainian politicians. They allege he then laundered that money through these lavish purchases. They described a $21,000 watch, a $15,000 jacket made from ostrich, and an estimated $2 million home just down the street from here.
Well, now to northern Mexico, where a domestic jetliner crashed and burned, and all 103 people on board survived. Transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve.
The plane made it off the ground, but was hit by a gust of wind as it left the runway, causing the plane to land abruptly on its left wing and forcing the engines to catch fire just a few hundred yards from takeoff. This woman explains how she escaped the wreckage with her son. She said, "I was lucky enough to turn around and there was a hole somewhere. I unbuckled my son's seatbelt and we got out that way and jumped." Some passengers described people being trapped at the back of the smoke-filled plane and helping others make it out of the flames.
Most of the injuries are minor. Some survivors were well enough to make their way back to the airport on foot. New fires are adding to the challenge and misery in Northern California. CBS's Steve Futterman is covering.
The largest of the fires, the Carr Fire here in Redding, is now 30% contained. But there are more than a dozen other major fires throughout the state, and new fires starting each day. Russ Fowler is a battalion chief with CAL FIRE.
Our goal is to hit those new fires the heaviest and the fastest so that none of those new fires become heavy or become large.
Fire crews here battling the Carr Fire believe the worst may be over, but for some it's too late. Nearly 1,000 homes have been destroyed.
Here we were on this cul-de-sac, this neighborhood, And then we go away, and 2 hours later, it's gone.
And many other homes remain in danger. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Redding, California.
There was a repatriation ceremony today at Osan Air Base in South Korea.
Attention!
55 sets of remains from North Korea now in American hands. Reporter Don Kirk watched it.
U.S. officials think that these remains are those of Americans. They've gone to that much analysis. They also said that there were a few odds and ends of equipment that accompanied the remains, some canteens, some other indications that they were GI remains.
Those remains will undergo forensic testing in Hawaii. Chipotle has reopened a restaurant it closed Monday in Powell, Ohio, as it investigates illnesses suffered by people who ate there. More than 350 cases reported. Government's also warning more than two dozen salads and wraps sold at Trader Joe's, Kroger, and Walgreens could be infected with a parasite. They all had sell-by or use-by dates that have since expired. California prosecutors won't pursue sexual abuse claims against CBS Chief Les Moonves because the statute of limitations expired. CBS's Anna Werner says this involves a woman not included in a New Yorker story that told of allegations by six women.
The multiple incidents of assault were alleged to have occurred in 1986 and 1988 when Moonves was working at Lorimar Television. Possible offenses listed were forced oral copulation, indecent exposure, and battery. She did not actually make those allegations to police until late last year.
A fatter paycheck is nice, but not if Uncle Sam wants more money next spring. A new federal audit estimates 30 million of us will have to shell out more to pay 2018 taxes because employers withheld too little under government tables under the new tax law. Well, some say a new law in Tennessee blurs the line between church and state.
Starting today, the four words, "In God We Trust," our national motto since Congress proclaimed it so in the 1940s, will have to be prominently displayed in all public schools in Tennessee. Republican State Representative Susan Lynn came up with the idea for the new law.
I think it's a good message that we don't trust in government. It's not in government we trust, it's in God we trust.
Similar laws in other states have faced legal challenges. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
Well, team records fell by the wayside as the Washington Nationals pounded the New York Mets last night 25-4. Among them all, it was the most lopsided loss in the Mets' 57-season history. With the game out of hand and New York looking to preserve pitchers, 35-year-old infielder Jose Reyes took the mound for the first time in his big league career. He gave up six runs. And that's the CBS World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.